I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, the WWE Universal Champion called out by a top UFC star. A UFC champion on the way to SummerSlam. Plus, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Samoa Joe get ready for tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. John Cena prepares to square off with Shinsuke Nakamura on live television Tuesday. We'll talk with Ring of Honor's Kenny King and more. It is July 30, 2017, and Wrestling Night in America starts now. People, it is 8 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday night. It is Wrestling Night in America. I am Pat McNeil. The gentleman on the other end of the line is Greg Parks, and we are both Pro Wrestling Torch columnists. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. You're the co-host. You're supposed to be here. We have lots of your calls. Bottom of the hour, Kenny King of Ring of Honor will be with us. He had an interesting evening last night at the ROH tapings up near beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina in Concord. As a matter of fact, I think next weekend on Ring of Honor television, he'll be taking on a gentleman by the name of Kushida. I think that's going to be quite the matchup there. Plus, we'll be talking more about WWE. Big week of TV, I'd say, Greg, with the two matches that we have, main events in any arena that WWE runs.
Been a very exciting week, you know, coming off of last Sunday night's pay-per-view SmackDown brand, Battleground. Kind of talked last time we were together on a down note, because I think we both thought that it was a thumbs-down show. But we rebounded in a pretty big way with Raw. It was a pretty good show, I think, for the most part. And then you had SmackDown on Tuesday night, which was another good show, and it was a very newsworthy show with a surprise return, a title change, and some big news about the SummerSlam opponent for Jinder Mahal for the WWE title.
Yes, we had all that, and then last night we had more interesting news. As it appears, Chris Cyborg, fresh off winning a featherweight title belt in the UFC, is coming to SummerSlam and calling out Becky Lynch. Now, what on earth are we to make of that, Greg?
Well, this is something we've speculated on now for a week or two since they've been going at it on social media. And, you know, with the Four Horsewomen being present at the Mae Young Classic tapings, and with Chris Cyborg and Becky Lynch, as I said, going at it on social media, obviously some MMA influence, at least for the women coming into WWE. You know, I wonder how much name value Chris Cyborg has at this point. I know she was a pretty big name at one point in MMA. But you know, when you're talking about the Ronda Rouseys of the world and things like that, is the general feeling going to be, it's a bit of a step down to be doing business with a Chris Cyborg first, even if it does eventually, even if Ronda Rousey does eventually end up doing something with the Four Horsewomen of WWE.
And you get the impression from this, maybe, you know, we're not going to see so much horsewomen versus horsewomen as it's going to be the UFC ladies versus the WWE women. Maybe.
Yeah, certainly. And I don't know what kind of mileage you're going to get out of that. Certainly, I think you would be better served by having maybe one or two of the horsewomen and focusing on them. When you're bringing four or five, in the case of Cyborg, into the WWE universe, and I'm sure there are a lot of WWE fans who know them or at least recognize the names, but it's going to be have to be a major introduction of these people and these characters. And I guess it would explain why we're seeing so many multi-woman matches on TV, you know, both on the Raw and SmackDown brand. I think there's frustration with viewers that there's somewhat of a lack of focus on individual women, and it's almost like, how can we effectively get all of the women on the roster on TV or in a match at one time? If you're bringing in four or five MMA stars with the intent of having them feud with four or five of the WWE women, I think that may hold an explanation for why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They're very true. All right, let's see. 515-605-9345. Let's see what's out there on the open phone lines. As a matter of fact, we're going to kick things off in the 985 area code. Cody from Thibodaux, Louisiana. You're up on Wrestling Night in America.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Ah, the usual. What can we do for you?
I just had a really quick question. I asked Wade and Todd about this earlier in the week, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this. It's just on the on New Japan. I was wondering, with the success of the G1 Special in the U.S. with the with Kenny Omega being their first U.S. champion, I was just wondering what you guys thought, what other steps that New Japan would need to do to be even close to being considered to being some kind of serious competition for WWE. And where does Ring of Honor fit into that?
Okay, I think let's see. I mean, I think Ring of Honor as a partner of New Japan works well the way it is now. If New Japan's serious about expanding into the United States, Ring of Honor runs shows in the United States, and I can't help but feeling, Greg, that would be awkward.
Yeah, there would definitely be some sort of competition between New Japan and ROH that would, you would think if New Japan got serious about running the U.S. or even having a U.S. base, that would certainly put a strain on the relationship with Ring of Honor. New Japan has had two successful shows in America. It's certainly going to take a lot more than that for them to become even a viable number two in the United States. I don't know what their plan is as far as how much they do want to run in the U.S. I know they've opened up an office in California, but other than that, it's not something that they're not going to tour 300 days out of the year in the U.S. like WWE does. I mean, they're just not going to have the sheer numbers simply because they're based in New Japan. They could have an arm in the United States, but you wonder if the hardcore U.S. fans are going to see that as the real New Japan, or is it just going to be sort of like the SmackDown brand to New Japan's Raw brand, dating back to when Raw was so was understood to be so superior to the SmackDown brand. You wonder if that's how fans are going to see it. So, it's going to take a long time, I think, for New Japan to make any kind of significant inroads into the United States. I don't think they have any plans to run any more shows until the next calendar year here. So certainly it was the most recent shows was more of a dipping a toe into the water to see how the water felt than, having any kind of real United States invasion.
They're going to have a TV deal with a network that actually pays to get ratings. I mean, Access doesn't right now. So,
I mean,
it's going to have to be a little more. It's going to be a little more serious. Okay. Anything else there, Cody?
Actually, no. That was really all I wanted to bring to you today. I didn't want to take up too much of your time. I'm actually in the process of moving out. I just wanted to, thank you guys for taking my call.
Okay, are you still going to be Cody from Thibodaux, or do we have to put another town for you?
Well, I'm going to be moving to Baton Rouge.
I'm marking it down right now. Cody's from Baton Rouge. All right. Good. Okay, Cody. Well, thank you for calling in with us. We're going to probably talk to you next week.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
And there,
I'm glad we were important enough for him to fit in on a very busy day for him.
I hope he's putting out his change of address cards as we speak. Okay. All right. It's just that simple. 515-605-9345. We're going to come back on the other side of this. More of your phone calls, hopefully some emails, chat room questions, and we might have a report on the wonder that was the 5-hour ROH television taping last night. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined as always by Torch columnist Greg Parks, 515-605-9345. We did not talk about the other story that involves the bridge between MMA and professional wrestling. John Bones Jones would like a piece of Brock Lesnar and in a super fight, and Lesnar said, be careful what you wish for. And there is talk that Lesnar might leave and go to the UFC to fight John Bones Jones and make a boatload of money. But, I can't help but remember that the last time Brock's contract was up, he started talking about going to UFC, and suddenly he was back with a nice fat 3-year deal.
Yeah, not only would John Jones like to see that match happen, but I'm sure UFC would love to see that match happen as well, because not only would Jones and Lesnar make a lot of money, but Dana White and everybody associated with the UFC would probably make a ton of money from that as well. The timing seems a little more than coincidental with Brock Lesnar going back into the testing pool, or at least making waves about going back in the testing pool for MMA, and now John Jones calling him out. So if both are into it, and it seems like based on the comments from both men they are, I'm sure Dana White will find a way to make this happen. We've already seen Brock Lesnar fight once in the UFC while under WWE contract. So I suppose technically he could re-up with WWE next year and still do a UFC fight. And, you know, it's kind of a I don't know what kind of situation it is as far as WWE getting some of the MMA women to take part in whatever angles or storylines or maybe even matches that they want to take part in. Maybe that they can do some sort of trade-off where they allow Lesnar to do a match with John Jones in exchange for UFC signing off on some of these women working for them. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these two separate but sort of similar situations with the women and with Brock Lesnar now occur over the next few months, and see how see what that says about WWE's relationship with UFC.
Okay, well, here's the way I see it. You've got WWE, who is, you know, they've been struggling in the ratings, and they've got to negotiate a new TV contract coming up in a year or so. And you've got UFC, who is struggling in the ratings, and they've got to come up with a new television contract in a year or so. And it's, and you know, maybe one hand washes the other. Maybe they're counting on this. Both sides can count on this to create a little extra excitement that wasn't there before.
Yeah, it would certainly behoove UFC and WWE to work together, the egos of Dana White and Vince McMahon notwithstanding. But again, you know,
nonetheless,
those are two very big stumbling blocks standing in their way. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see how things progress over the next few months, the next 6 months to, 6 to 8 months probably, to see how this story develops.
Okay, 515-605-9345. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey, where our man Kylan is standing by. Kylan, welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
Thank you, Pat. How are you and Greg doing this week?
We're doing very well, I think. Yourself?
Very well, guys.
Okay, are you here to talk to us, or are you holding for Kenny King?
I actually
He's thinking
have
about it.
I actually have questions for you.
Great. That's what we're here for.
So, my first question is in regards to the Broken Universe drama.
Oh, yeah.
Since Mike Johnson reported yesterday that Global Force Wrestling has technically not filed or legally lost the rights to all of the broken trademarks, is there a bigger possibility that we will see the Hardys debut the broken gimmick on a WWE television program in the not-so-distant future?
Well, Greg can comment on this, but Kyle, I think the answer is where it has been, which is it depends on if WWE wants to do it, because, you know, there's the right to do it, and then there's whether WWE is going to put it on television, and or, you know, I mean, if they want it on television, I think that Matt and Jeff would like a lot more control over what comes out of that character, because it's theirs.
I think the longer this process drags out, the less of a chance we see the Broken Universe in WWE. I think that the more entrenched the Hardys get into their old WWE characters, the more WWE gets used to writing for them as these characters, the less interested WWE is going to be in turning everything on its head in order to introduce these characters that, by the way, WWE did not come up with, and we know how WWE and Vince McMahon handle situations like that. So, even if they have the opportunity to use them, unless the Hardys can talk WWE into it, I doubt we see that.
Yeah, that's the issue, really. What else, Kylan?
Question number two, even though you kind of covered this, since we're kind of struggling to find one at this point, who would you conceivably say is the number two wrestling promotion in North America at this point?
Well, I would say that Ring of Honor runs more shows and has more paying customers than GFW does at the moment, they're going to do more pay-per-views than GFW in 2017, unless you count the one night only shows. I mean, I would think that they're number two right now. Greg?
I would agree with that, and I know that GFW has plans to start running house shows, select house shows here and there.
This weekend.
Now, it would be very easy for GFW, I think, to surpass Ring of Honor just if they do run, you know, five or six house shows a month that are marginally successful, just based on the fact that they have that TV deal on Pop TV and they're drawing even 350,000 fans or whatever viewers to the product. Just by the fact that they run, if they started to run more house shows, that TV deal sort of gives them a leg up. And if I was ranking them, then that would put GFW over the top. But as we're speaking right now, I would say ROH number two.
And final question, continuing on the path of GFW regarding their television deal, which is expiring soon. GFW vice president of creative, I guess, with Dutch Mantel, recently said on a conference call that Netflix has reached out to Global Force about possibly doing some content for them. So my question is, if GFW is able to secure a better traditional linear television deal or a Netflix television deal, will they somehow overtake Ring of Honor for the number two position, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Lucha Underground's on Netflix. I don't think that they've overtaken, you know, Ring of Honor yet. It would depend on what the deal involves, I think, Kylan. I mean, if there's a deal where there's something being put on live or semi-live on Netflix, then yeah, there'd be an interest there. But I don't think putting on reruns of Impact is gonna cut it. Greg?
And it's not enough just to be on Netflix. Sure, it increases your visibility, but you've got to get paid. You know, unless they get a sweetheart TV deal, which Jeff Jarrett couldn't get for the original incarnation of GFW after years of searching for a TV deal for that product, unless GFW gets that, I don't really think it's going to matter a whole lot if they're on Netflix. And I just saw today on Twitter there was a story about how Netflix is losing a tremendous amount of money now. So, you know, with all the original programming that they're pumping out and paying for the rights to these shows and things of that nature. So I don't know if Netflix is going to be in a financial position to pay any significant amount of money that would, you know, matter to improving the product as far as running bigger arenas or signing bigger names or anything of that nature to really significantly affect GFW's bottom line.
Yeah, there's still talent in the process of leaving Global Force, and I think you're going to see a lot of churn. Guys are brought in for short periods and sent back out, and I think it's kind of been that way for a couple of years now.
Yeah, with all the regime changes too. I mean, that's part of what causes that. You know, Jeff Jarrett took over and he brought in a lot of his guys from GFW. He brought a lot of former TNA names who were there when he was in charge. So. You know, that churn is real.
Yes, it is. Okay, Kylan, listen, thank you. And next week, hopefully, we'll be talking about the Impact live shows from next weekend.
I would venture to say that we will, Pat. I look forward to it.
Okay, thank you, Kylan. Kylan drops off. That opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. All right, remember, we're trying to keep it to three questions maximum on this show, and keep it PG because even though Wade is not on with us, he's listening. We know that. We're going to try for Anonymous. This will be good. Anonymous, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Hello. Hello, Anonymous.
Hi, Pat and Greg. Hi.
Yeah?
Hello.
Who is this?
This is Craig from Toledo. Craig from Toledo.
Hey, Greg, it's Craig from Toledo. Okay, Craig, what can
it
we do
sure
for you?
I'm sorry,
Craig,
I'm
Craig, are you calling
Skype.
From
I'm,
the are you calling from the SmackDown? Are you calling from the SmackDown show in Youngstown, Ohio?
Nah, I wish.
No,
dude.
Nope,
last night they had the last night they had the Detroit show up in the last show with the Joe and. And they had Brock
yep.
Lesnar and all them guys up there. I wanted to call off work last night, but I couldn't go. And anyway, I wanted to ask you guys one thing. I only have one question.
Wow. Okay.
And it's I've been watching the New Japan stuff, the G1, mm-hmm. and it's the first time because the interface on the Fire Stick is so good.
Yeah.
Like the interface, like I can just click on all these things and like it just shows up on my TV and I'm like watching the best wrestling in the world and it's so often. I have one question as far as you guys go.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I've been in. You know how I do on Sunday nights. I drink on Sunday nights.
I'm shocked I am by that announcement. Keep going.
Who do you guys think is going to win the G1?
Let me see. I'm gonna say Tanahashi, Greg, because you know I don't think there's. I mean, what would be the point in having Okada win it? And Omega, you know, how many times can we go back to Omega? I say Tanahashi.
I don't think it's going to be Omega. I think it's going to be Naito, personally.
Okay.
You know, Tanahashi got the arm injury, and you know that's been a focal point in a lot of the matches, and that would be a story if he could overcome that. I mean, that would be a great story to tell in this tournament, but. I'm going to go with Naito.
Yeah, and if you missed it today, Sean Radican's report. I'm doing a plug here, but Sean Radican's report on this morning's show is up right now on pwtorch.com, and he gave Okada versus Juice Robinson 4.5 stars. I honestly did not ever think I'd see that for a Juice Robinson match, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I think this is G1 is sort of Juice Robinson's coming out party as much as it was a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, for Michael Elgin, where he really shined in the G1. And I think that's kind of the same situation that's happening here with Robinson.
Did either of you guys see the Michael Elgin versus Kenny Omega match? The one where he really performed against him.
Okay, you mean the one within the past week? Is that the one we're talking about?
Sorry,
as part of the G1?
I'm sorry. My phone broke.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it, Greg.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either yet. I'm a little behind on my G1 watching as of today.
Yeah, I'm just so much that.
All right. You guys have to watch this match. I had my friend come over just to watch this Michael Elgin versus Kenny Omega match. It was like one of the best matches I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to have any spoilers.
Okay.
But I think Michael Elgin and I love the way that the whole thing is presented.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
And I love even the Kenny Omega versus Toriano match with the duct tape and all that stuff on the ankles. I love all that stuff, man. But I think that Michael Elgin is going to make a big play right in this tournament right here. But what I really want to see, I'm sorry,
yeah?
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to recommend that you send your send your thoughts on this match to officialvincerusso@gmail.com. I think he'd really appreciate that. officialvincerusso@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right.
Tremendous, Vince. All right. I'm sorry. I'll let you guys go. I love.
No problem.
I'm really loving the G1. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's great. There he is. He's Craig from Toledo. He recommends the G1.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, we will. I'll tell you what. We'll come back and then Kenny King is going to join us, so don't leave yet.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
All right, don't forget, kids, we have a VIP area here at pwtorch.com. What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go to pwtorch.com/govip, $10 a month, $99 a year, unless we're doing a special. You get everything. You get all of Wade's Podcast One shows with the commercials taken out. You get our shows with the commercials taken out, and there's some commercials here. You get exclusive articles before they show up on the regular Torch website. You get an ad-free website, and you also get something else kind of important.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
The PW Torch newsletter and access to 30 years, Daddy, of back issues. So that's pwtorch.com/govip, end commercial. All right, we're back with more of Wrestling Night in America, and we do have a guest for you. Let's give this gentleman a call. He is he's now becoming one of the top stars in Ring of Honor. Matter of fact, his match with Kushida for the TV title will air this coming weekend on Ring of Honor Television. Let's talk to, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny King is on the line with us. Kenny, welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
It's going well. We talked now. Earlier tonight, I talked to our correspondent who was in attendance in Concord last night, Mr. Johnny Fairplay, and he said that you had a really good match against Kushida for the TV title, and that there spoiler alert, there might be a rematch coming up down the line. There aren't that many Americans who get to wrestle Kushida. You're part of a very small and exclusive club.
Well, I mean I'm honored to be a part of that club because that's a very small club, and it's a club with dudes like Kyle O'Reilly and I think Bobby Fish got to wrestle him one time. So I know Jay Lethal has. So that's, everybody who gets to, every American that gets to wrestle Kushida is part of the elite. So, after being in the ring with him, I can see why he's amazing.
Yes. And that match is that supposed to air next weekend on ROH television? Or is it the weekend?
I'd be lying if I told you I knew. It's either this weekend or next weekend.
Okay. I mean, the last time I had you on our show, we had you and Rhett Titus, former ROH Tag Team Champions. And you guys lost a match. I mean, your crew lost a match at Best in the World. And, you're no longer part of the kingdom. But you've struck
Rebellion.
Out on as your own solo artist, and how are you finding it? Are you excited about some of the possibilities? There's guys here, there are guys. You're going to go to England. There's guys who are in the G1 who are going to be on the shows with you guys in England. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I think I'm just looking forward to just kind of reproving myself as a singles competitor in Ring of Honor. Most of my success has come as a tag wrestler, but when I first came into Ring of Honor as a singles wrestler, I've achieved, championships and success in other promotions as a singles wrestler. So it's a great time also because of all the potential matchups and all the different looks that can happen from me just being out on my own. I'm very excited just to show everybody, exactly what I can do and that I belong in that top tier.
And I know you're going to be on the pay-per-view next month in Liverpool. However, a match that's signed for the night before that in London is going to be you and Jay Briscoe. And you and the Briscoes go back years, I want to say.
Yeah, very much so. The Briscoes, I can remember, the Briscoes and I wrestling each other down in Florida at FIP. So that's, we're talking 2007, 2008. So we're definitely talking about a decade now. So Jay Briscoe and I are no strangers to one another. We've been knocking each other in the head all over the world at this point for 10 years. So this is going to be Jay Briscoe and I haven't actually wrestled a singles match, and I think over 7 years was what I read. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be high impact. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be in London, so we're going to get to show our fans out there exactly what hard hitting wrestling is about.
And last I saw, you didn't have an opponent listed for the pay-per-view, although I'm hearing now that you have a beef with Mr. Adam the Hangman Page.
Well, you know, I just didn't appreciate how these guys, you know, the Bullet Club, they think they can just come in and walk all over everything. And I train very hard, and I've been, you know, very focused on my match with Kushida. And, you know, these guys think that they can just ruin everything. So I just have basically just, yeah, I wouldn't call it a bone to pick, but I just feel like I owe him one.
Greg, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, you know, Kenny, we talked a little earlier in the show about New Japan's relationship with ROH, and you talked about facing Kushida, and I'm sure if you were to look up and down the New Japan roster, Kushida is probably would have been on the top of your list or near the top of your list of guys who you would want to wrestle. You know, looking at New Japan's roster and right now in the middle of the G1, is there anyone that stands out to you that, I mean, you would like to get your hands on and get in the ring with in a one-on-one situation?
I think there's two guys. I think I would absolutely love to get in the ring with Tetsuya Naito. His style, his speed, his aggressiveness, the way that he just can come out of nowhere with offense. I think that's a style that matches very, very closely and meshes very closely with my own. And I think that's a match that would be outstanding. And also, I've been thinking about it. And Kenny Omega and I were married for a very long time in the very early part of our ROH careers. And I think it's time for another round, the Kenny versus Kenny.
I like it. It's got a ring to it. There's also another guy who's you know, part of the Bullet Club, been in that whole TV title contender scene, who's from England, Marty Scurll. Have you faced him in any other capacity?
Yeah, actually, right before I went for the Bachelorette, Marty in Vegas, I had a match with Marty for the TV championship. Marty's a great wrestler. I mean, I've watched Marty come a long way. I mean, I remember when he was Party Marty. You know, and he's come a long way. He's worked real hard, and he's come. Look at him. He's one of the most over guys around, because of how hard he's dedicated himself into just growing his character and honing his craft.
Okay. Outside of Ring of Honor, are there any other indie groups that you're working for on a regular basis?
No, I do. I have a vested interest in a group out in Vegas called Future Stars of Wrestling. I'm one of the head trainers at the school, and I do get, you know, at times when it works for my schedule, I do get to wrestle with them. And it's usually this myself, me wrestling with some of my students or guys that, you know, we think have potential and want to get some experience. But also there's lots of other guys that they bring in. I believe yesterday they had a show, and I think with Sammy Callahan and Shane Strickland and some of those guys, you know, top tier national indie names are coming to FSW, and they go up against our guys. So FSW is definitely in the Southwest a promotion to look out for. But other than that, it's just I've dedicated most of my time just to wrestling for Ring of Honor.
Okay, you know, 20 years ago, the young wrestlers were getting into the, you know, the people who were going to wrestling school, they were watching ECW and they wanted to do hardcore matches. Do you see something, you know, today where these kids are coming in and they're like, I want to be Kushida, I want to be Ricochet, I want to be one of these guys in New Japan?
Well, I just think that the wrestling business right now is, it's unlike any other time that it's ever been, where you can get so much content, so many different types of wrestling from so many different regions. And it's you know, it's not necessarily like guys like Ricochet and guys like Will Ospreay are a niche style. It's just that professional wrestling in general is evolving, you know, and it's amazing because you have so many guys that are just killing it in this, getting attention, gaining attention in their own areas. It's a lot like, you know, the early 2000s and the tape trading days when you heard about a guy named Jack Evans and a girl, guy named AJ Styles, and you had to, you know, you had to go find these guys, and that's what's generating the buzz, is because dudes are really trying to step up and be the next, you know, Ricochet, be the next Will Ospreay, be the next big name on the scene.
Instead, yeah, and that's but I mean, I think, you know, with WWE actually using more of the cruiserweights, that, you know, the smaller guys are feeling even more than before, like, hey, there's a place for me in this business. I don't have to be 6'4", which used to be, you know, a hiring requirement for WWE. I'm also
absolutely
noticing you don't have a manager.
No, I was just going to say absolutely. Okay. That used to be one of the most discouraging things about if you were trying to get a job at WWE was all you had to be 6'4" and 260 pounds. And I think that if you look at the current group of guys who are on top, I think they're just now just more flexible to guys who can perform and guys who can really wrestle and tell a story and guys who have dynamic characters. That's what matters more than your stereotypical, you know, meathead. It's the guys who can do the job.
Yeah, there's still a place in wrestling for meatheads. Don't get me wrong, but yeah,
without a doubt.
I noticed you don't have a manager right now, and there's a guy who just became available who used to be your manager, you know, some years back. In fact, I believe he was called the greatest manager that ever lived. has Austin Aries checked in with you?
I've talked to Aries here and there. Not a whole bunch since he departed from WWE. You know, when a guy needs space, and I know exactly where he's at. We spoke a little bit before it even happened. I don't know what he's got planned, but I know he's got a plan. I don't know what, you know, if wrestling is still part of his plan, but I'm sure we'll talk here pretty soon. But that would be interesting, would it not, if I could get one more run with the greatest manager that ever lived.
Yeah, K double and A double. I think there's real potential there. Yeah, but Aries,
yeah, there's always money in that.
Yeah, yes, there is. Greg.
Yeah, just curious because you know, as we said, you're you know, away from the tag team, going on a singles run right now, and obviously, any wrestler in any company, their goal is to be the top champion in that company. So I'm just curious now that you're back on your own, kind of getting your bearings as a singles wrestler, what do you see as the landscape in front of you? What do you need to do to rise up the ranks in ROH and become champion? Because I'm assuming that's, you know, that's got to be your goal. So what do you see as what you need to do to get there?
Well, that's definitely the goal, because that's validation. You know, in any sport, and any competition, validation is a championship, whether it's a championship ring or a championship title belt. So where I'm at right now is I'm just looking to, you know, I'm just taking it one match at a time. I know that, you know, for the longest time, I was, you know, every time you saw me, it was either in tag team or trios action. So, you know, some people might have forgotten. So my goal is one night at a time. Every single night, every single town, every single match, really be razor sharp and really just kind of just put a string together. That's how a streak starts. You do one at a time, and you know, town by town, and match by match, pay-per-view, TV by TV. People are really going to start, you know, noticing the difference, and that's how you get people to start talking about you.
That's true. Well, Kenny King, we've seen him grow up as a wrestler, right on our TVs and on our DVDs and video on demand. Kenny, it's great to have you on, and best of luck to you, and have a safe trip over there.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on again. It's always a great time.
Okay. Kenny King, ladies and gentlemen, We're taking your calls, 515-605-9345. When we come back, we have a lot to talk about. Big week coming up for the WWE. Big stuff on the horizon. And TNA, Alberto El Patron is unsuspended, and his family's getting involved. This is Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com. And don't touch that dial.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
It's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com. I am Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. We are columnists and hosts for the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. By the way, Greg, I don't know if you're aware of this, but our editor, Wade Keller, he has his own show on Podcast One now. Did you hear about that?
Does he? I have heard tell of a story, yes.
Yes, and apparently at several points during the past couple of weeks, it's been the number one wrestling podcast on iTunes. I don't know how that's possible, but I'm told it is. So you'll want to check that out. You'll want to subscribe to it over on Podcast One, and you're going to use the hashtag Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, WKPWP. See, I'm so busy, I couldn't even come up with some fun fake acronyms that those could be.
And, you know, so you I just heard just recently – negotiated my debut on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. I will be there on tomorrow night to talk about Monday Night Raw on the show that I think will drop after midnight on Tuesday. So I will be joining him to talk Raw on Podcast One.
Okay, well, I think I'm coming up sometime between, sometime between Michael Moore and Craig from Toledo as a co-host for Wade. So be sure to check it out, Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Yes. I know. 515-605-9345. Yeah, we are coming up on SummerSlam. I know we talked about the possible MMA tie-in, but there has been some talk over the past week. We have two large main events coming up in the next 2 days, one on Raw and one on SmackDown. And the question has been whether these are matches that should be set for pay-per-views or bigger shows instead of having them on TV. Now, Greg, a lot depends on, you know, on what they do on these shows. But do you think it hurts the main event of SummerSlam if we see three of the four guys in that match, you know, have a main event match tomorrow night on Raw? And I'm talking about Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns.
I think traditionally the answer is yes, that you don't want to give away a lot of physicality between those two guys. I mean, the most anticipated matches on pay-per-view recently have been where guys have been kept apart or have just briefly gotten into scuffles and not have had full-fledged matches. I think that's what makes Brock Lesnar so special is, he doesn't wrestle on Raw. So every match he has on pay-per-view feels special because he hasn't already wrestled that opponent or some incarnation of that opponent, whether it's a three-way or a four-way on Raw previous to that. But, you know, the stakes are a little different at SummerSlam on pay-per-view because the title will be on the line, so it will be a little different. You'll have the added person, so it'll be a four-way on pay-per-view rather than a three-way. And to be honest, you know, wrestling fans, as much as I don't think we want to admit it because we want WWE to have some semblance of, being able to tell a coherent story and not changing things week to week, but the reality, I think, is that wrestling fans have a short attention span and they have a short memory. So when SummerSlam does come around, even though we will have seen three of those four guys recently on Raw in a match, I don't think that will greatly affect the anticipation, and I don't think it will greatly affect people's enjoyment of the match. If people don't like that match on pay-per-view, I don't think it will have anything to do with the fact that three of them had wrestled together on Raw a month before that.
Yeah, and on the other hand, we have John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura, and the first time that they're going to wrestle each other ever is coming up Tuesday night in Cleveland, and we get to watch it on USA Network. And you know, there are questions about that. But here's the real question. Are they doing this match because, among other things, they don't see Shinsuke Nakamura as a main eventer?
I don't think so. This is a match to me that screams something's going to happen, and it's either not going to take place or it will be very short and disputed and could lead to a three-way between John Cena, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. Nakamura's coming off a decisive victory over Baron Corbin on Tuesday night. John Cena is coming off a decisive victory over Rusev at Battleground. Rusev was nowhere to be seen on SmackDown this past week, so it seems like his feud with John Cena is a one-off. Neither of them have anywhere really to go after this. So, you know, maybe WWE is getting the hint that Jinder Mahal isn't a big draw and isn't of interest to the greater fan base that they're serving here in the United States. So, perhaps it's their idea to put two more interesting wrestlers in there to kind of carry that load with Cena and Nakamura heading into SummerSlam.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we know that Jinder Mahal is going to face either Cena or Nakamura at SummerSlam. And spoiler, you know, a lot of us think it's going to be John Cena because you only get John Cena for a limited amount of time. Why not? You know, why not have him go for the title against somebody he's never fought before?
Sure. And I think that's, you know, that's the safe bet is if you don't see a three-way happening at SummerSlam with Cena, Nakamura, and Mahal, and obviously you don't, I think it's got to be Cena. I don't think it makes sense at the age of his WWE tenure to put Nakamura in that position at SummerSlam against Mahal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I of course expect to hear from Jinder Mahal and the you know, Bollywood Boys and maybe even the Great Khali during this matchup, for all we know. But I don't expect them to go 20 minutes and have a clean finish. But you know, these are strange times, Greg. They're trying lots of different things.
Yeah, if we do see, you know, either Cena or Nakamura coming out of that match and to face Mahal, I think the match we see on SmackDown this week for the loser may help to set something up for SummerSlam, whether it's a post-match attack, whether someone costs either Nakamura or Cena the match on SmackDown. I think we'll see the winner going on to face Mahal. The loser, I think, is going to have something coming right out of that match for SummerSlam.
Okay, now, obviously, last night was the farewell to the Joe, the last WWE show at Joe Louis Arena before they break it down. We did get something important out of that. There is going to be a SmackDown pay-per-view in October in Detroit, and it's going to be SmackDown's Hell in a Cell. So, based on last year, Greg, does this mean we're going to see Naomi and Carmella in Hell in a Cell? Go.
That would certainly be, you know, an odd matchup for Hell in a Cell.
They're gonna have a men's match and a men's cell match and a women's cell match, right? So,
probably. Yeah. I don't know that Naomi is going to hold the title till October. I don't know if Carmella is going to hold the briefcase till October. But certainly there would, you know, be a SmackDown women's match inside the cell, and you would hope that the story leading up to it requires a cell for some reason, whether if it's, you know, if it's Carmella being involved, whether it's to keep James Ellsworth out. But we know from even the Punjabi prison match last Sunday that structures that are designed to keep people in or out rarely do the job lately. So I'm sure Ellsworth would find a way to squirrel his way into the cell somehow. But you would hope that the build up to the Hell in a Cell match, regardless of who's involved on the women's side, you won't be scratching your head and you'll say, well, having this match in a cell at this point in the feud, at this point in the storyline, at least makes some sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see, what do we have here? And Wednesday, here's a nice little surprise on NXT. Your main event is Aleister Black against a surprise opponent to... Should I? Is it even a spoiler at this point, Greg?
Well, I guess it depends. That's a whole other argument. The match has happened, but it hasn't aired, so I don't really know. It's Pat, you're
well,
going to take the heat if you spoil us.
Okay, count to 10, and I'll try to reveal it in that time, and then you can tune back in. It's Kyle O'Reilly, for crying out loud. Kyle O'Reilly is in NXT and fighting Aleister Black. That sounds awesome. Okay, now.
Yeah, you know, the match he had a few weeks ago with Bobby Fish was, you know, probably if you're big ROH fans and you're seeing Bobby Fish come in, it probably wasn't the match you wanted him to debut in. But, you know, it was a good match, and he looked good, and Aleister Black looked good. I mean, Black is a gimmick and a guy who right now is getting sort of a slow burn push in NXT. So, you know, even though Fish lost the match, you can't complain about who he lost to. It's not like you're throwing him in with a scrub and he's doing a job there. Yeah, so, that's certainly something to look forward to next week.
So I guess, Aleister Black's gimmick is he's fighting all the big names on the scene.
Yeah. That used to be Baron Corbin. When he was in NXT, and he'd shout for them to go back to their independent companies, and that's what we loved about Baron Corbin when he was in NXT.
There was also a blind item in this week's Wrestling Observer saying that, after SummerSlam, we might get another superstar shakeup, and that's kind of what we had last year at this time. You know, Bayley got called up, among other things. That's the one I remember the most. But as part of that shakeup, Greg, they're talking about people going from the main roster back down to NXT. Now, who can you think of that would be on that list?
Well, I guess I would imagine any lower card guy, I guess. You know, I don't know if a guy like Ty Dillinger, who was just brought up, would be a guy to do that. Mike Kanellis, you know, he took the fall. He tagged with Aiden English on SmackDown this past week, and he was the one that took the fall. So, you know, maybe they decide, hey, maybe it was a bad move to bring Mike Kanellis and Maria up to the main roster immediately upon signing them. Maybe we want them to go to NXT and do something there. But I would have to imagine any of the lower card guys, I would think the women really wouldn't be unless they called up some women to replace them. But any of the lower card guys, I think, would be... Mm-hmm.
They could do that.
Would be eligible.
They have women there who can... They have women down there who can be on the main roster right now. If I were a betting man, here's what I say. I say Chad Gable goes back, and then I say Dana Brooke goes back.
Okay.
They have nothing for either of those two.
Well, we don't really know what they have for Chad Gable, just simply because Jason Jordan just left him. He did, by many accounts, a very successful sit-down interview with Renee Young on the SmackDown after Jason Jordan was revealed as Kurt Angle's son. So, it felt like there was a story.
Talking Smack got canceled. So Daniel Bryan and Renee Young went on tout with their show Smacking Talk, which is hysterical, by the way.
Oh, I'm referring to Gable's sit down though with Renee Young on SmackDown the night after Jason Jordan was revealed as Kurt Angle's son. And, I mean, he came off really well there, and it seemed like there was some momentum there. I know he wasn't on this past week's show, but certainly it would behoove WWE, I think, to capitalize on Gable right now on the main roster. But, you know, you're right. If they don't have anything for him going down to NXT and trying to work back up as a singles wrestler and kind of hone his craft there, because so much of his time in NXT and on the main roster was spent as a tag team wrestler, if they feel they want to get him a little more seasoning as a singles wrestler, NXT would make sense. And Dana Brooke, I mean, you could even throw Emma into that. I hate to see what they're doing with her on the main roster, because I think she could mean a lot more. But if that's what they have planned for her, I'd prefer to see her mixing it up in NXT a little more.
All right, so we're going to take this time out. Again, if you're at the WWE show in Saginaw or Youngstown, or if you're at the Alpha One show in Hamilton, Ontario, which is the one that Cody Rhodes is at, check in, call in, email us, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us, and we'll be back right after this time out. We'll have more stuff.
thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the Best of PW Torch Livecast, a hand-picked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at PWTorchLivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, hold on a moment. There we go. Wrestling Night in America returns on PW Torch Livecast. Pat McNeil here, Greg Parks here. This is your show every Sunday night. 515-605-9345 is how you reach us. So, Greg, we've gone through a lot of WWE, and there is something that I saw that I think I should pass along. Everybody in Mississippi needs to circle August 27th on their calendar, because August 27th, Greg, is the first advertised match on a live event between John Cena and Samoa Joe, since both were in UPW together in
wow.
Tupelo, Mississippi. I know. Crazy,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's a free agent John Cena coming into play there.
I think that's going to be something special. Now, of course, there's something interesting going on with GFW as well. There is going to be a media mayhem match at the Global Force tapings on August 17th between two disc jockeys in Orlando.
That was the old WECW. They used to do that with
Jimmy Hart. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart would get him and do that. So, yeah, interesting.
I thought you'd like that. So, Global Force. Let's see here. Let me get this lineup. Let me pull the lineup here. I think I've got a lineup for Long Island that's coming up on Friday, and we'll probably talk about some of this on next week's show. Okay, local guys match. Let's see. The main event. Get this. It's actually Alberto El Patron's not on this, but the main event is going to be in Long Island, the team of Moose, John Hennigan, and James Storm, taking on the trio of Bobby Lashley, EC3, and Eli Drake. That's a lot of entertainment there.
Yeah,
and of course the umpteenth match
you wonder about John Hennigan doing the house shows, you know, as Johnny Mundo on Lucha Underground, and the way that Lucha Underground's contracts work. We've seen Drago on GFW television, so. You know, it's kind of a strange situation. I think it's somehow they could get Johnny Mundo, John Hennigan. I think he would be a huge addition to that roster. I know they've talked to Rey Mysterio as well. So, you know, it looks like they've got, if they're talking to Mysterio and with the money I'm sure he would command at this stage of his career, it looks like they have some money to throw around at some top talent. And it'll be interesting to see over the next, you know, year or so. We talked about a little earlier about the rotating of talent, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of talent and the names that come through the doors of GFW, sort of how Cody Rhodes did last year when he came in and he did a couple things with GFW, but never signed anything real long term or anything like that. And that could be how they continue to build.
I mean, I think that's really their, you know, that and getting trades with international talent. I think that's kind of the way to go for them. Going in the long term, you keep your 8 or 10 type stars, and you're doing kind of a Memphis deal. You're bringing in, you're cycling guys through.
Yeah, it keeps your options open. It doesn't tie you down to any long term, financially risky contracts. I mean, a company like that's got to watch their bottom line. So yeah. Being partners with, you know, whether it's Noah or, you know, AAA or whomever, you know, the companies outside of the United States, and getting to bring in talent and really exposing them on American television to a lot of people for the first time. I think that could be a way to differentiate the company from WWE. And for so long, this GFW/TNA has sort of been searching for an identity and trying to figure out who they are and what they can do to differentiate themselves from WWE. And I think structuring their contracts that way, where they can bring in big stars for a short period of time and not have to be married to them for, you know, multiple years, and also bringing in wrestlers from other countries who have been successful and drawing the interest of the fans that way, I think is one way to do it.
Okay, the Staten Island show for next Saturday, similar, it's Eddie Edwards, Johnny Mundo, and James Storm against Lashley, EC3, and Loki. That's, yeah, okay. I mean, that's, yeah, that's and they, and I mean, I honestly, for a while there, I thought we'd never see another GFW show again. Now they've got their own company.
Yeah, it took a while, but here we are.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and see if we can get we're going to try to see if we can get somebody from the Global Force or near the Global Force on the show next week. And I want to thank again Kenny King for coming on the program. You know, another piece of information I'd like to talk about is you saw the financial reports that came out for WWE for second quarter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. They made more money in the second quarter than they did the last year's second quarter, and the reason they did it is because they spent less on original programming. And I think a big element of that is, you know, everybody thought we were going to get a WWE UK show, and it seems like, you know, between the cost of airfare, getting all the WWE personnel over to the UK going up. You know, I think that's part of it. We're not getting that product, and I don't know what's going to become of the WWE UK division. I mean, the tournament I thought did well. They had that one special, and I think there was it was kind of nice. But by the time it was on the air, everybody knew what happened on the special, and I don't think a lot of people watched it.
Yeah, and I think that. The best we could probably hope for now is like quarterly specials of the UK, not necessarily a tournament, but have a UK show. The whole idea of expanding into a UK show was to sort of put the brakes on the ITV project that was happening in the UK as well. And WWE poaching Jim Ross away from them and signing him to a contract to work for the network and do the Mae Young Classic and do this theoretical UK show that they were planning on doing. I think a lot of that was to kind of cut the ITV project off at the knees. And then when that didn't get off the ground, they kind of said, I guess we don't really have to do anything now because we've already been successful in stopping them from getting any traction. So now they're left with, you know, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and, you know, they could, you know, incorporate some of these guys into NXT, but they also take indie bookings outside. So structurally, the contracts would probably have to be different. But, you know, I think if you do a quarterly special, and I don't know how much that would cost WWE to do, like you said, Pat, financially successful because of almost the lack of original programming. And we know that the Talking Smack was canceled. We know that, well, after SmackDown anyways, we know that the right. Unfiltered with Renee Young has been stopped. We know that the Edge and Christian show, by the sounds of it, is no longer airing new episodes. So a lot of stuff on the network that was original is kind of been cut off. And, you know, if WWE felt that not enough people were watching it and it wasn't making financial sense for them, you know, I understand it as disappointing as it is because you got to see some real creativity with some of those shows.
Yeah, and I mean the pre-shows, which everybody thought would be easy, they took the pre-show out of the arenas, they put them back in Stanford, then they took the pre-show out of Stanford and put it on the website. Now I think it's gone altogether.
Yeah, it's been a lot of trial and error for the network, and you know I think that's kind of to be expected when this is all new to them as much as it is to us trying to get used to what they're airing and things like that. And there's really no precedent in the pro wrestling genre for what they were doing. So, you know, even here, how many years after the network first launched, they're still trying to figure out the right formula for them.
Yeah, but I mean, even on my end, you know, I mean, they have all these original programs, and I look on there and I'm like, oh, great, all these Boston Garden shows from the 80s are up. Yay! You know. So,
yeah,
I mean, I know I might be the minority there, but I think that, you know, a lot of people just like having, you know, just like having all the old content. And, you know, oh, let's see. Well, no, show sucks this week. Let me put on a show from the 90s here.
Yeah. And it's certainly cheaper for them to do. They already have the footage set up. I don't know, you know, how much it costs to convert to the network or anything like that. But I mean, I'm sure it's cheaper than any first run programming that they'd have to air on there.
I'm actually told part of the delay in doing that is most of the footage isn't stored in Stanford. It's stored up in Iron Mountain in one of those vaults, and they like bring it in piece by piece.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I know.
That's gotta be a really interesting job handling all the footage that WWE has.
Right. Well, it is. I can't imagine it not being exciting. I don't know if you read Raven's Torch Talk, but he basically said he was listed as when he was Johnny Polo, he was listed as producer for All American Wrestling, and he basically would spend his time pulling old 70s shows from the garden from the archives and just sitting and watching them on the clock.
Hey, that's a great job if you can get it.
Yeah, we tell the tell the people at one studio he was going to be in the other studio and vice versa, and just there you go. I mean, I guess I can understand that because what does a producer of one of those clip shows have to do exactly? I mean, you have to show up and do the wraparounds and so.
It basically, it didn't seem like there was much to it.
No, it really didn't. I'll tell you what, when we come back, Greg, I might try to play our correspondent Johnny Fairplay was there. I might try to play the clip, the pre-tape I made with him, but it for some reason on my computer it sounds like crap. So we have that to look forward to. Plus, we'll talk some more about what's coming up this week, and we'll take your calls, we'll answer your chat room questions, we'll dance, we'll sing, we'll slice, we'll dice, we'll julienne fries. All of that coming up when Wrestling Night in America returns after this brief timeout.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling-related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
And Wrestling Night in America continues here on PW Torch Livecast. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks. The number is 515-605-9345. Don't forget, 3 weeks from tonight at SummerSlam, SummerSlam, I believe, Greg, is going to be 14 hours long. And after it's over, we're going to be here taking your calls all night, probably through Monday morning about this blessed event. So, you know, get on the line early. You don't want to miss it. We'll be talking about the four-way and whatever John Cena's doing. And I don't know. It'll be quite the show. So I'm told that coming up this week on Impact, Greg, it's going to be it's going to be a six-man tag. It's going to be LAX, you know, Homicide, and Ortiz, and Santana, taking on the team of Alberto El Patron, his father Dos Caras, and El Hijo de Dos Caras.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Is there really a demand for this?
That's a good question. It's not something that's just popped up overnight. I'll give them that. It's something that they've been building,
right?
With Alberto El Patron and his father and his brother making appearances on TV and at the pay per view recently. So it's part of a long arcing storyline here. You know, it makes sense getting LAX involved. They've been pushed really hard since they've returned. Them kind of sticking their noses into the main event picture here with Alberto El Patron is not a huge surprise. You know, I just wonder about El Patron as a babyface and whether that's the right position for him to be in. I always felt he was a lot stronger heel. The crowds at the Impact Zone do seem to respond to him more often than not as a babyface, and I think he's done a better job as a babyface than I thought he would necessarily. But you know, he's totally got the sympathy angle with his father and his brother being involved, so that shouldn't really be difficult to get a lot of babyface heat. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. They've been building this up for a long time. It'll be interesting to see what the rating is and see how many fans they draw for that match.
Yeah, that will be fun. Also, I'm warning everybody, you know, we talked about a lot of topics here tonight. Tomorrow, the professionals will do it because we had another episode of Bring It to the Table with Peter Rosenberg and Corey Graves and JBL. They'll be talking about Brock Lesnar going back to UFC and whether Roman Reigns can be the next John Cena. You know, hard-hitting stuff like that.
Well, I can't wait to find out what Vince McMahon thinks about Brock Lesnar heading back to UFC by way of JBL's comments.
Do you think that JBL is there to parrot everything that Vince McMahon thinks? Well, yeah, that actually kind of is usually what happens, isn't it? I mean,
maybe not everything, but most things, yes.
Okay, so we got that going for us, which is nice. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's the major stuff. Of course, next week we'll be talking probably about the Impact stuff that's going on and the huge build-up to Destination X and about all of the big matches that we had this week. And I know that I am excited, I got to admit, about Strowman and Reigns and Samoa Joe. And you know, basically you're hoping for kind of what we saw before, which is both the heels ganging up on Roman Reigns, because that's what we enjoy.
Yeah, we've got that to look forward to. They've done a really nice job in the main event picture with all of these. I mean, it really is a cast of characters here with Lesnar, Strowman, Joe, and Reigns. They've all stood out in different ways positively in this lead-up. And, you know, you've got other things going on Raw. I mean, the Drifter versus Finn Balor has been an oddly endearing feud, I guess you would say. You've got Seth Rollins trying to convince... Seth Rollins trying to convince Dean Ambrose that he's changed, he's turned over a new leaf, Ambrose being skeptical, fitting Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas into the Miztourage. That's been an interesting experience, and watching Ambrose and Rollins together has been fun. So, you know, there are some positives on Raw, big cast, and Enzo still doing their thing. You know, that's I think it's most people can take or leave. Big cast, probably. Enzo still doing a nice job with what left that he has to say on the mic, I guess, at this point in the feud. So there is some things to get excited about on the Raw brand. I will say that.
Okay. Yeah, that seems fair. All right, so we're going to be back next week. We'll have all this. We want to thank Kenny King for – you know what? We want to thank Kenny King for joining us. You know what? I will play the Fair Play bit. When the audio starts getting bad, you'll let me know. I think actually everybody will know when the audio starts getting bad. But here's what we got from earlier today when I sat down with our regular correspondent, Johnny Fairplay.
And it's Sunday, and before Wrestling Night in America, we go on live with our special correspondent who was in Concord last night for this Ring of Honor television taping that apparently nobody else saw. Mr. Correspondent, this is John from Danville, is it?
Johnny Fairplay, how's it going?
I'm doing fine, Johnny. So Johnny, we couldn't find a report online for what happened last night at Queen City Excellence, so we figured we'd go straight to the source, which is you. 2,000 people in attendance, you say?
It was as many people as there was for the... It was more people than there was for View they had last year. And
here we go.
As many people as there was when they were on court. So I picked up some heroes for Cody. He said on Twitter as long as...
Yeah, you know what? I swear Johnny sounded a lot more coherent during that. So we'll hopefully get the technical snafu out on our end. But Johnny said that there were 2,000 guys in bullet clubs.
Meet and greet started 90 minutes before.
Yeah, so that's what we had there. He's going to be on YouTube with the Young Bucks, I think. I know, it's a shock. But he said Kushida versus Kenny King was good. Apparently they did more stuff to set up the Young Bucks versus Daniel versus the Addiction, which is the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and they did the angle where the Bullet Club comes after Kushida and Kenny King is there, so we'll see all of that come up in future weeks. They, you know, it sounded like they had a good attendance and they did a good show, but I mean, you know, part of being Ring of Honor is they're not back in the States for another month. Next month they do a TV taping at Center Stage of all places.
And back memories there.
Yeah, and Ring of Honor is, you know, the past couple of years speaking of cycling talent, they've got talent coming and going all the time, I'd say.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job. We've seen with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish leaving, we've seen other guys head out, and they've done a nice job replenishing, you know, and it's kind of fun to see. And I think that's another example of how stocked the independent scene is right now, where a company like ROH can lose some top guys and bring in folks to replace them and not really miss a beat in terms of drawing fans, not really miss a beat in terms of in-ring action, still for the most part top-notch, top of the line. So it's a real boon for the independent scene. It shows just how much talent is out there. There are people who could make a list of a dozen guys who are unsigned to any of the GFW or ROH or WWE or New Japan or any of the major companies. People could make a list of a dozen guys who deserve those opportunities, if not more than a dozen. So certainly while it seems like WWE is hoarding a lot of the top independent talent, there's still more on the horizon and more coming around every month. So it's a good sign for the business to see it this healthy in terms of the number of guys who are really standing out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next week we're serious. We do want people calling in live from the WWE house shows. The SmackDown brand is in Ottawa next Sunday. AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal are there, and who doesn't want to see that? London, Ontario, the Raw brand is there, headlined by guys like Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. So, check that out and let us know what's going on. And, Greg, it's always a pleasure. We're going to do this again next week, and we're going to do this every Sunday night until everybody gets sick of us.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, and I want to thank all of you who called in, who listen, who download. You're the thing that keeps PW Torch Livecast going, and we will be back next week. If you are interested in becoming a PW Torch VIP member, well, gosh darn it, we have a guy here who's going to take care of all that detail for you. Give him a listen, and we will talk to you again next week. Good night, everybody.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
This is life.